I'd like to call upon Mike Walrod, who's going to be giving his update live and following message. He serves with his wife, Verna, in the Philippines.
Thank you very much, Gary. I was pleased to be asked to bring a report today. I was worried last night that I wasn't going to have a voice. I really got attacked by a cold, so hope and pray that my voice will last for this report. Thank you. It's my privilege to bring a report because I was in the Philippines in February, March. But also, we have been in the Philippines for many decades, off and on, and as you know, served 3 decades at Canada Institute of Linguistics as well. Some of our trainees were Stephen and Sharman Hoff, so what a blessing to us to be a part of a congregation that's also a part of their ministry, as well as all these other missionaries. Wow, this is not a mega church. I don't know if you noticed that, but look at that list of missionaries that we're involved with. Praise God. That is really something to see the heart that this church has and the willingness to share our resources and be involved with ministries around the world. This is what God intended, and we're going to see a little bit about that today. I should tell you that having been around as long as I have and being asked to give a combined message and report at a missions conference gives me license to go down memory lane and do a little bit of summary to bring you up to date. And so if you see some pictures of us taken 45 years ago, I must warn you, nobody's allowed to laugh. That sounded like laughter. If we hear any of that, there'll be some really big guys at the door to carry you away if you if you're tempted to laugh. When we have a message on missions, most frequently we read the following verses, Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." And Acts 1:8. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." If we were being told that instruction nowadays, it would be, "You will be witnesses to me in Abbotsford and the Fraser Valley and British Columbia and to the ends of the earth." And thank God we are doing that through various kinds of outreach. So we praise God. Now, I want to share a little parable with you, and this might be one of those occasions when you might be tempted to laugh if you see a picture. It's a parable about Zerubbabel. Not the Zerubbabel you know, but Josh has been entertaining us with references to animals recently, and we wanted to let you know that sometimes we have some fun doing mission work far abroad. And this is Zerubbabel, our monkey. We called him Zeb for short. Fabulous pet, best in the world. And we loved him and he loved us. And he'd see us 2 kilometers down the path and he'd start shrieking and jumping until we got there. We had a poodle and a monkey and a cat. And they liked to tease each other and play tricks on each other during the day, but at night they would get together in a pile for protection and to keep warm. Sort of the original small group. Anyway, the monkey stayed on a pole right on our porch there, and one day our kids were blowing soap bubbles, and we noticed the wind was drifting these soap bubbles toward the monkey, and we became amused because we saw the monkey get really interested in these soap bubbles, and as they approached him, he'd crouch down and get ready. When they got close, he'd grab them, and then he'd look at his hand. He'd look at the back of his hand. He'd look all around and just puzzled and dismayed. But then another bubble was coming. So same routine again. And this went on for quite some time until we couldn't laugh anymore. But You know, what a great parable this is, because I want to read a couple of verses for you, and then we will talk about this parable. The verses are John 6:27 and Matthew 6:19 and 21, and those verses have already been referred to, actually. There we are. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him, God the Father, has placed his seal of approval. Don't work for food that lasts, but food that spoils. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be. And so we have these verses that teach us this lesson of having a more long-term perspective, investing in what has real value rather than stuff that is fleeting, just like soap bubbles, just like food that spoils and treasures that can get stolen. And in James chapter 1, we're told, what is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. So we're reminded very frequently how fleeting our life and the treasures of our life are. But there are things that are much more important, and things that do not spoil, and things that we can invest in that have eternal value. Now, I want to show you a 2-minute video about sharing God's love through God's word around the world.
One of the key ways God expresses his love for us, it's communication. He talks to us. Primarily, it's through his word.
Taking the word of God to people in their heart language is like God coming down and sitting beside them and fellowshipping with them in a language that they have their deepest thoughts.
It's not just bringing Bibles. You need an alphabet. You need to teach people to learn to read. And all of a sudden, you're doing basic education. You're providing something that's a cornerstone for their development as individuals, as a community, as a society. When we run literacy and I see young adults learn to read God's word for the first time in their language, they're changed forever.
It's such a beautiful thing to hear God speaking to you in the language that you know best.
Wycliffe serves some of the most poor, some of the most forgotten and marginalized communities and people in the world. This is a group of people that God created and loves and gave them their own language and their own identity.
And when we have the scriptures in a language that the people can understand, it's God reaching down in a personal way, and that says, I love you.
Some of the people you just saw are some of our recent staff and students at Canada Institute of Linguistics. And Grace Church, incidentally, had a huge part in helping us get that program up and running as well and developing the facilities that we have there. Very adequate facilities on the campus of Trinity Western. And so that work is going on. We're preparing people who are then going abroad, like Stephen and Sharman Hoff, many, many others, hundreds, who are here and there around the world, bringing the message of God's love to people who have not heard it and need to hear it. It has been mentioned that we had a plan to step out of Wycliffe this year, at least full-time service with Wycliffe. And so retirement, the word retirement was used, the word resign was used, but now that got tweaked a little bit, and rather than resign, it's re-sign, We signed a new contract for another year, like a hockey player, I guess, like an old hockey player. Sometimes they sign a one-year contract at a time. And we've been asked to teach again this coming year and the following year, so we'll at least be with Wycliffe until the middle of next year, at which time it will be exactly 50 years since we joined Wycliffe. Now, if we've had the strength to continue, and in fact we've needed it at times, there were times when there were people objecting to our work, and one fellow came into our house and pulled his jacket aside and showed me a pistol in his belt because he didn't want us helping the Gatdang people to get titles for their land. At other times I had serious cases of malaria and cholera, but God did allow us to have the strength to continue, and it's his work, and we'll talk more about that at the end, how God is the one who, it's his agenda, it's his project, and he's in charge. But at this stage in our lives, of course we look back and say, well, if we've been at it this long, has it produced the desired harvest for eternity? Have we seen the desired outcomes of half a century of work with Wycliffe? And so we're going to show you another video. And let's see, I'll need a light. Can I have a light stay on me? Well, this... Good. Thank you. There are two things that last forever, the Word of God and the souls of men. In the early 1970s, Verna and I went and lived in the village of Bayongyong. We lived in a grass house with bamboo walls for some years until we got it updated. We began to raise our family there among the Gatdang people. And the Gatdang people were a group of people who were animistic, that is, they worshiped the spirits. The older ladies in the community were called Makkammang, some of them at least. This meant that they were spirit mediums, and they would contact the spirits and become possessed with spirits in order to make sacrifices to have the people protected and avoid harm. It was in this context that we lived and worked, began to study the language, began to translate the scriptures, also to do medical work, because there was no medical facilities at all in the whole Gatdang territory in those days. And so we probably had $1 million worth of pharmaceuticals pass through our house at one time or another over the decades. We also contacted Dr. Eli Sarmiento from Manila. He brought people up there and began medical ambassadors of the Philippines. We'll say more about that later. When the books of the New Testament began to be published, it was received eagerly, and some of the people wanted to follow, even though there was resistance from those who were the spirit mediums. Some of the men who wanted to study God's word and wanted to follow it asked me to teach in their church. They said, "We'll build a church. You come and teach us." I said, "No, I won't do that, but I will help you to prepare." I wanted them to shoulder some responsibility for leadership, so I helped them. And sure enough, they did. They began with this church building. This was the very first one in the village of Bayongyong. More and more people got excited and joined in. And the church went through a number of facelifts over the years until it got more and more sturdy, and more people joined the group. There were other churches, for example, in Kabulawan and other remote places. But then Verna and I had to come home to Canada and spend some years. About 15 years ago, we had the privilege of re-engaging with the Gatdang community, getting back to see our Gatdang family and friends, and becoming a part of their lives again and seeing how we could help them and how we could encourage them. One way was to get involved with the young people. One of the problems they had was that the schools in our area were not good at preparing them for university. They couldn't pass the entrance exams. So we found help. We got resources. We were able to provide books and things for the students in their schools and visit them and provide teachers. And then some of them began to be accepted to university and graduate from university, sometimes with teaching degrees and degrees in criminology and nursing and so on. Here's a group of cousins ready to graduate, and in elder care, and reach graduation day and earn a diploma. We were, this was one of our graduates who got a degree in teaching, and she became a teacher. A couple of our recent college students have earned degrees in nursing and then passed the professional exam so that they could practice nursing. And one of them has since gotten a job in the local hospital. I mentioned Medical Ambassadors of the Philippines, a group that started on our front porch with doctors from Manila. They made contacts in Manila and got government funding for this hospital in Parasiles and another hospital in Pocha. And we were so glad that now they do have medical facilities in the Gatdang territory. This is Abigail, our recent nursing graduate. She passed her exam. She got a job at the Pocha Hospital near home. And here she is a month ago showing me around the hospital and telling me about her job there. What a treat for us. You can see that the hospital is in need of repairs. Look at the fascia. And so I'll be contacted, no doubt, for a donation to see if they can upgrade that hospital. We also tried to work towards getting titles for the Gatdang ancestral lands with help from CEDA, Canadian Development Agency. We got 30 or 40 titles for parcels of land, a few hectares each, so that the lands would not be stolen from them. They'd have secure hold on their lands. A month ago, I was able to go out there and inspect Lot 99, one of the biggest parcels, which we've actually subdivided into a dozen other parcels. And imagine my joy to see very productive fields. And here's a slab of cement they have built in order to dry their grain and prepare it for market. We also helped them to get some rice paddy land where they can grow things very effectively. We also helped them to develop this community of Carbaña. This is sort of town center, and we were able to help them get this community up and running. And this was just open grasslands in the past. Here I am talking with Martin, one of the pastors of one of the Gatdang churches, and it was my privilege on this recent trip and two or three previous ones to interact with the pastors and visit some of the churches. And now I am willing to take a turn speaking and preaching. This is the church in Bayongyong. This is the church in Ngilid. And we visited the church in Carbaña and Bebeswal and Mabatlao. And some other places. I was not able to get to the new church in Natatlungan because it's just too far away and hard to get to, but I hope to someday. This was the church in Bebeswal just a few short years ago. This was when they were just getting started with construction, and they have stuck with it. And an enthusiastic group, here's the work crew on a weekend tidying up the churchyard, and this is how the church looks now. They have strong leadership. They've got themselves a sign and a name, Mount Olives Evangelical Church, and they're reaching out to other communities from that church. This is Sid Dayao, who helped me with the translation work. Here I am with a number of the pastors, and here I am with Esteban, making sure that he has enough copies of the Gatdang New Testament for his church in Minanga, where we also visited. Now, we were able to encourage the pastors and meet with them. They need encouragement. They need help. They're doing a fabulous job, and they're sticking to it. And they're just doing amazing work for the amount of training and the amount of funding that they have, which is very, very little. But I met with them and encouraged them. But we realized we needed facilities so that we could have a more regular fellowship and training facility for the pastors. And so we bought land 3 or 4 years ago and developed some plans. And here we are. We found engineer Rick Reyes, who was able to help us with the plans and the building permits and was able to pull together a construction crew, which numbered 20 or more people at times. But most of the construction could happen only during the month or two each year when we were over there. But we did proceed. Here's Verna with engineer Reyes. And you can see the building making good progress. Actually looks like a building. And So we were delighted to see the progress, and now it looks more like a building. Now it's got trusses on. Here it is with the roof on. The roof is very sturdy, which was very important because typhoons blow through there from time to time. Here is how the building looks upon completion. And inside, we were building this upper room, which was a large meeting and training room. Just a month ago, Engineer Rick, who has actually become a pastor, was putting the finishing touches on, and just about done. Watch your step, Rick. There's a rung missing. No workman's compensation here. And a month ago, we declared the project completed. Unfortunately, Pastor Dennis Harms, who had been our project administrator and accountant and so on, has contracted advanced cancer. And one of the projects that I asked you to pray for was that I could find somebody to replace him. On the far left is Ermi Kaklini. She was available. She was willing. She has finished the missionary project she was doing, and she was available to take on that role. And so we're thanking God for that. And just a couple days ago, I got an email from her saying that all the hassles we had with getting the bank account set up are resolved, finally. She's up and running, ready to go, providing help for this group of pastors. So we called a meeting. We had 20 or more people there, pastors and church leaders, and what a treat it was. I mentioned earlier that the Gatdang were animistic people steeped in spirit worship, and showed you pictures of the spirit mediums. This time, I found out that a great-granddaughter of two of those spirit mediums that you saw pictures of earlier was having trouble with demon oppression or demon possession. And so she would try to go to church, but she would get an attack of anxiety or panic and terrible physical pain. She couldn't even go in the church. She had to run out. And so the pastors got together and prayed for her, and she was delivered, praise God. And she's able to worship with her family and the other Gatdang believers. But these things are still happening. The powers of Satan do not give up easily. Oh, here's a group of tall men with big smiles. 14 years ago, the Grace Church team came out to be a blessing to the Gatdang people. And here's with some industrial strength papayas. And meeting with the local folks and sharing God's love, which in turn encourages them to follow the Lord. We took on this well project, and the men were willing to take risks and lower themselves, or somebody lowered them on a rope, 15 meters into that hole in the ground. And finally, we had this beautiful well with clear water for the Gatdang people. Oh, and it didn't hurt that Eagle Crane was able to get some new recruits out of the deal. By fellowshipping and encouraging and sharing our lives with them, we encouraged them. We showed them the love of God and encouraged them to follow Him. This is the last shot. And here is the impromptu Grace Church choir blessing the Gatdang Church with a special number. They loved it, and they were impacted by the willingness of people to come and share the love of God with them. And that, in turn, encouraged them to continue to follow the Lord and reach out and reach out to others as well. Now, I have one more verse to read for you. That was a great trip down, see the Gatdang family, wasn't it? You can see why we have come to love that group of people so very much. The closing verse is in 1 Corinthians 3, 6, and 7. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who planted is, nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. Again, we could update that verse and say, Verna and I planted some seed, the Grace Church team came and watered, and God has given the increase. And it's always God's work, and He is the one who does the spiritual work in people's hearts. Now, I have one more word in closing before Ryan comes to close our service, Pastor Ryan. And I want to share an email with you. I mentioned the team working with us in the Philippines years ago. And they really made some great friends, and those people remembered them very well. A number of the older people who they met have passed on and gone to be with the Lord in the years since that time. Then it came to about 16 months ago when our good friend and member of the team, Vern Brown, passed away rather suddenly and to our surprise. 4 days after that, I received this email from my sister. I'm going to try to read it. My sister did not know anything about the happenings here in Abbotsford. I had never received an email like this from my sister ever before or since. The subject was this a precursor to heaven? She said, I just had a nice dream. Usually I have weird ones that disturb my sleep. I was somewhere many gut down people were. I don't know how she identified them as gut down people, but she knew that that's who they were. I was trying to talk their language. They were saying, thank you for the Bible. You were a good part of that. I was trying to touch them all. As I was leaving, packed and ready to go, some prayers and goodbyes, and then I woke up. Thank you for doing that. Woke up wondering if heaven could be like that. A couple more things about this email. Not only did she send it at that time, not only was the subject line, was this a precursor to heaven, but she sent it to me with copies to a bunch of family members and some of her closest friends. I had never remembered her doing something like that before. And also, I never remembered her being so impacted by a realistic dream that she felt she had to get up at 2 a.m. and write an email to everybody. I don't know if it was a precursor to heaven or if she had a vision of something that was happening in heaven at that time. I've debriefed with her a little bit, but not at length. I still plan to debrief more with her about it when I feel like I can talk about it with her. But I preferred to kind of keep my own interpretation of what was going on, because when I got that email, I quite immediately felt that perhaps what really happened was that she had a vision of what was happening in heaven at that moment. Thank you for the privilege of sharing with you.